Welcome to the Innovation Calling Podcast,
where we connect creators for the next big thing. We're your hosts, Erin Greger
and Sia Yasotornrat.
Hey, it's Erin Greger.
And it's Sia Yasotornrat.
All right, before we jump into this next episode of Innovation Calling, we have to make sure you know that you are invited to our next Women in Tech live podcast recording series. We've got a big one coming February 5th.
Yes, we are excited to invite and host Jody Brinkeroff. She is VP of Innovation at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. Smart cities, we talk about it all day long. This is a city that they run. You guys, it was, I guess the way you could describe it is this. Jody has responsibility to look at the future and guidance of the next generation airport experience. What an exciting position. And she's worked her way through to get there.
Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a hashtag-a-thon, let me tell you, because they've got so many initiatives that they're doing that pretty much hit every emerging tech out there. So I'm excited. We're going to be able to hit up quite a few when we talk to her.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, one thing that Jody had mentioned to me, it's not just about the technology, it's about the people too,
right,
and the processes around it. I mean, she's very dedicated ensuring they're not implementing technology for the sake of it. There's right. A lot of human element and that experience that's going to really set DFW further apart.
Yes. So February 5th at the Mothership at our main studio here over at City Central North Dallas Tollway and Trinity Mills. Head over to innovationcalling.com to grab your tickets. So this episode, the farm girl in me loved this episode. We have another one of our special CES episodes.
Yes. This special CES episode was actually a very pleasant surprise for me. This is with John Deere.
Mm-hmm.
Not many people consider John Deere being a cutting edge, innovative company, but it's right now, actually based on some social media posts, people are screaming at me like, Sia, they're like the epitome of IoT.
Yeah.
How naive am I? So
yeah, they've been a autonomous vehicling, which I know that's not a word, but go with me, for like years now.
I know.
When everybody's trying to get them out on the market. They've been ahead of the game for quite a while, and it was just a female straight out of Iowa talking far. I mean, it was like a cool, like very out of the blue, unexpected, but a very pleasant surprise.
It is. And on top of that, with going with the theme of women tech leadership, really excited to have Sona Razia Begum join us. She is the head of ISG digital strategy and long-term career John Deere employee. So we had a lot of fun talking to her about just a little bit of a background, but a lot about John Deere. So guys, definitely why they're at CES. There's a reason. And if you missed it, go to their website. You could see the ginormous, what was it called, Erin?
Well, Combine was there last year. And this year it was a sprayer.
Yeah, the sprayer.
And we'll link to those articles in the show notes too over at Innovation Calling so people can see those.
Yep. So without further ado,
here's our interview with John Deere at CES.
Hi, Sona. Welcome to the Innovation Calling Podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's awesome.
Well, actually, should we say, John Deere, welcome to CES.
Yes. Yes, it's been great being here. This is our second year in a row. Last year was our first time at CES.
Ever or just after a break?
No, I think it was kind of ever.
Wow.
It was kind of a big deal. Yeah. And this time we're just coming in with more of the same fun and a lot more technology to showcase.
I would love to know, like, what went in the thought process where, I mean, obviously, we're going to get into the really cool stuff you all are doing, but what happened at John Deere where the team was like, let's take this to CES, like, we want to show this off there. Can you talk about that process?
Absolutely, because one, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of tech goes into farming equipment. So this was an opportunity for us to kind of build awareness for how technologically advanced farming is and our equipment is. So we were kind of being voice of our farmers, voice of the ag industry in a way to say, hey, we play in tech too. The second idea was just to make the tech companies aware that we are playing in the same technology stacks that they are in, whether it be AI, machine learning, robotic sensors. And we've been doing it for a lot of time. Like, we've been doing it for decades, a lot of the technology. So this was just an opportunity to shout from the rooftops a little bit.
So, and if I can tell you a little history about us and Innovation Calling, because we were so excited when we booked you, okay? So if we're a little fangirly,
Thank you very much for being gracious, okay? So the reason why we started Innovation Calling was because Aaron had a meeting with another company that's not considered a tech company. In fact, very similar industry, if you will, to John Deere. And they had an IoT or innovation lab that they were struggling to find great resources because techies don't consider organizations like John Deere as being cutting edge. Right. And so we're like, why don't we highlight amazing companies? So with what you're talking about right now is making me like literally goosebumps, okay? So
yeah.
You're at CES.
Yes.
There is a giant green machine. Okay, now.
It's a combine.
I go, Aaron, there's a big
green. It's a sprayer.
Green.
Oh, is that a sprayer? That's yes. Not a combine?
No, we had a combine last year.
Oh, so, my God. My dad.
Maybe that's why I saw
okay, maybe it's the picture, though. This must be the picture.
Yeah, from last year.
So I was going to say, don't tell my father. Oh,
no,
my God.
We can, yeah.
She's a farm
that
girl.
Does not need to go very far. Okay. No, but it is a self-propelled John Deere sprayer.
It is from 2019. Okay, sorry.
Ahead. So,
sorry.
You know your
going.
Combine goal. I know that.
Oh, my God. I'm scared.
I called it a big tractor thingy, and she looked at me. She goes, girl, that's a combine.
But I will tell you, a lot of people do that. They come in and that's the opening. Like, first question we get is, what are you guys doing at CES? We think, you know, agriculture, we see tractors, but we don't see technology. That's not a normal association. That's why we're here. We want to make it an association, right? Yeah. And the other thing is, what does this tractor do? Yeah. And we're like, yes, it is an equipment. It's not per se a tractor. This is a sprayer. Last year we got, what does a lawnmower do for the combine? And I'm
that's
like, how big is your yard?
Exactly.
Let's talk.
That is one hell of a rider. That's all.
It's just the United States. That's all.
Yeah.
So yeah. So the conversations have been amazing.
Yeah.
And the interaction, people have really embraced our presence here. It's been really positive because the story that we're telling is taking all those mainstream technologies that everybody talks about, but showing a real world application that makes truly an impact to everybody because we all eat. At the end of the day, you ate breakfast, I did too.
Right.
And so that is where our products are really helping our farmers do a lot more with a lot less, using precision to really use technology to just provide as efficiently as possible for a growing population.
So can you talk about specifically some of the advancements you're highlighting? We're seeing the machines, right? So, and I want to talk about later about like with the crops and stuff, but inside the machines, can you talk about some of the advancements we're seeing and how that really transforms a farmer's workflow?
Sure. So everybody talks about Internet of Things.
Mm-hmm.
And Internet of Things has been a thing with Deere for many years, actually. We actually leverage it for predictive maintenance. That's basically even before something breaks down, the sensors in our equipment can kind of show the wear or indicate, alert the farmer as well as our dealer that this part's needed. So there's no downtime during season. So that's one thing. The other one is remote management. The idea that we have connectivity in our equipment that lets a dealer or a farmer remotely engage with the display in the equipment and support the operator that's in the equipment, give them advice over kind of looking over their shoulder, if you will. And then lastly, it's just connectivity in terms of we have a integrated modular telematics gateway. It's a modem. It's a cell connection that's always keeping our equipment connected to the rest of the world, to the cloud and to dealers, customers, everything, to other third party providers. So it's that's and we've been doing that for many years. None of what I said right now is new. That's kind of the other awareness that we're trying to build. But if I truly want to talk about IoT, I'd like to double click into that self-propelled sprayer mm-hmm. that we are displaying at the booth, which I invite both of you to come
yes,
and see
please,
later.
We
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
We are.
Yeah. That machine, I look at it as an orchestra with an ensemble of the latest and greatest techie things coming together. 400 sensors. Capturing the ambient information of every single plant, whether that be weather, ground speed, wind speed, temperature, relative humidity. It knows everything that's happening around a plant. And it has over 150 microcontrollers that controls the engine, the steering, the boom. Everything's connected and talking to each other. And then it has over 100 computers, microprocessors just on the boom, individually managing each nozzle body. There's 97 nozzle bodies on a 120-foot boom that you'll see.
Wow.
And each nozzle is being individually controlled and 8 communication systems that's bringing all of this into a perfect harmony. And it's like a really a sophisticated orchestra, and we're really building a crescendo, right? Like building wow. all of that. And the outcome is precise application of either the herbicide or the fertilizer, just where the plant needs it, just at the amount that it needs it. And if there's wind speed, it adjusts for that. If there's waterways under the sprayer, some of the nozzles will shut down. If a sprayer, you know, as you turn, some of the, you know, if you turn, you know, listeners can see this, but when you turn a sprayer, the outer edge is traveling faster than the inner edge. The outer sprayer will only apply to, you know, a fewer plants and the, if it's done uniformly. But with the sprayer, the technology coming together, it automatically adjusts. So every plant just gets what it needs, not a drop more.
So this is a city girl asking this question, and I'm sure Erin's going to roll her eyes at me when I say this. Are you saying then, because of this leverage and the technology that you're rolling out, you're literally optimizing and making farming or the industry more efficient and less overrun, less chemical waste, less, I mean, help me understand that.
You got it. So let's even fast forward to, let's talk about 2050, okay? There's supposed to be 10 billion people in the world. That's, you know, that's 2.5 billion more people than we have today. And the land is not getting any bigger. It's actually shrinking due to urbanization. So the farmer of the future has to produce 70% more from existing resources, or shrinking resources. So what we're doing is harnessing and leveraging all of this technology that's out there to help the farmer do a lot more with a lot less.
Wow.
Yeah, it's around precision and doing and actuating our equipment to execute that precision, plant after plant, acre after acre, managing inconsistency consistently.
Yeah. Well, and just the waste. I mean,
the waste. Yeah, so from a farmer standpoint, yeah, let me just dive into that a little bit. If you think about the farmer's economics, right, a bulk of their cost goes into buying the seed. Another chunk of it goes to buying the fertilizer and the herbicide to protect the plant. And then comes equipment, for sure. But because our technology is so precise, they have to use very little of the herbicides and chemicals and, you know, fertilizers. So they, because of that, their profitability, their margins are improving because they're only using what they need. And it makes sense for them in two ways. One, from a profitability standpoint, if less is being used, they don't have to spend as much. Also, from a sustainability standpoint, they're good stewards of the land. Farmers are the ultimate stewards of the land because that land is their legacy. They hand it over from generation to generation. It makes no sense for them to destroy it. It's like killing the golden goose. Why would you do it?
Why would you do that, right?
Why would you do that? So our technology is just solving real-world problems that's going to impact each and every one of us. If we don't do this, this is like a call to action. If we don't do this, you know, waste is not an option. We have to be able to be precise and be effective. And so there's no other way but to do things like this.
Well, and can I ask with the precision of being able to spray and to do that, can that same technology, same technology be leveraged to use for like, you know, GMO being talked about and all of these things? Can we say, you know what, because things aren't overly sprayed or there's less of that, we're actually eating clean, the crops are cleaner?
Yeah. No, it's the benefits are so varied, right? Let's just break that down for a minute. Less herbicide means less plants around. The crops are not being sprayed with harmful things that we don't have to then consume. The other thing is these herbicides do run off into, you know, waterways, and that is another pollutant. So every single aspect of this being precise actually has a multiplier effect around from an environment standpoint. But I don't want to stop you guys, you know, stop there. What I just talked about, I talked about what we did for many years. Yeah. I talked about what we do today. I want to talk to you about what we're going, you know, what the future has. And we actually are doing trials with some technology. And I want to give you a glimpse into what the future holds.
That. Yeah, okay? Please do. I mean,
go. So, in 2017, we acquired a company called Blue River Technology from Silicon Valley. And the reason we acquired them primarily because they brought artificial intelligence capabilities. And so that sprayer that you see with Blue River's AI technology, we are adding cameras to this you know, the boom. And each camera will take an image at 50 milliseconds. That's the time that each of us take to, it's half the time for each of us to blink. So think about that.
Wow.
So cameras taking an image every 50 milliseconds. And then it takes that image and sends it into the neural network that's onboard the machine. The neural network is modeled and trained to distinguish between a weed and a crop. Okay.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
So now the nozzles turn into agricultural sharpshooters and just target the weed alone, right?
And you're that accurate that you can actually pinpoint it?
Yes. You are only going to hit the weed and nothing else. That converts to 90% reduction in herbicide use. Think about that in terms of pharma economics and sustainability. And the squirt of herbicide that's coming out of the nozzle is the size of a Post-it stamp.
Wow.
That is the future.
Can you make it happen now?
We are really working on it. So we did trials with cotton in, you know, in Texas. We're doing it with soy in the Midwest. We are on track to get this out to the market because we see the value. Our farmers see the value. We believe everybody will benefit from it. And as technology like 5G and other, you know, yeah, other supporting technologies mature, we believe that there's, you know, the potential is limitless in this space.
Can we back? Well, I was just going to say, can we back up on the 5G perspective? Because I'm really glad you brought that up. With the IoT, we see an explosion in IoT because of 5G. But you all have been doing IoT for a long time, and in rural areas. How have you been able to overcome that to utilize this technology already?
Yes. So our it's a great question. Rural connectivity is one of our biggest challenges. It's the coverage. And then you talk about speed and latency and just the power of the connectivity. That is also very important in our world. So up to now, we do have that integrated modem that is built into every single one of our machines. And it does talk to a cell tower. And today we basically, when the machine gets to a point of coverage, that is when information transmits. So it has been a limiting factor. And as I mentioned earlier, the AI, we are today limited to having 95% of the compute happen on the edge because we cannot assume that connectivity exists everywhere.
Right.
So we have to do all that onboard intelligence because the reaction to seeing a weed and a crop, we can't wait 100 milliseconds.
No.
So what we're doing is we're building the computing power onto the machines themselves. And then when the machine goes to the shed at home, it connects to the Wi-Fi.
Upload.
And so if you think about the images actually then gets uploaded to the cloud, retrains the model, and then does an over-the-air update to refresh the model.
Amazing.
And so you kind of, the machines get smarter over time. So the limitations are real. 5G does hold the promise of a lot of things that can happen. But as far as where we are today, we have adjusted our model to be workable, and it's doing its job.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so are you saying then that the machines are basically self-contained
units,
networks?
Yeah.
Okay, and then it uploads them once it goes into the shed.
Yes.
Interesting. So that is a limitation right now, especially when you got these fields out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
As 5G becomes more prevalent. So are you saying then, is there an increase? Okay, yeah,
I'm just going to add a few more things because it's not the other way that we've kind of tried to fix or kind of adjust for this is we do have a global positioning system. So we have GPS, and that is a company that we acquired in 1999. And we are one of five companies in the world that has its own satellite correction system. And that is one way of connectivity. The cell connection through the modem and the cell towers is another way of connectivity. We also have our dealers provide RTK towers. So data is so important for our farmers. So when I say limitations, we have offered them multiple choices, and together we are making sure our data is getting off our machine every 30 seconds.
Gotcha. Can I ask you, now that we're talking about data, how are you guys looking at security then, and how are you guys addressing it, and do you partner with someone for that?
No, the security thing, we take the security of our data very, very seriously because it's our customers' data. We actually are just hosting it in our world. We just say we're just keeping that data for you, for your use, right? And we have the certification that's been provided by the American Farm Bureau called the Ag Data Transparency Certification, which is, you know, which has our, all of our solutions following the principles of consent, ownership, and privacy. And so we follow that very clearly. Our terms are very easy for our customers to understand. We also have a very dedicated security staff under Deere's employment. And so all of this together is how we are making sure our customers' data is secure and safe.
So I'm curious, as you know, we're seeing obviously a huge shift in farming from the small, I'll be sexist here, but the small guys are going away, right? It's moving into bigger corporations.
Are you seeing a consolidation of the farming?
Yeah, like, you know, it used to be a lot of one family shows, and now it's very hard to live off that a long time. Farming is it's a very hard lifestyle.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So are your products for just the big conglomerate farmers, or are these affordable for the smaller, still 1 to 2 family farms? You know, is this technology just something that they really can't take advantage of because of the expense?
Actually, there's, you know, the more I have actually, there is a perception like that, but a lot of our customers are small farmers. The average in the U.S. is actually 5,000 acres. And so our equipment is currently being used by smaller farmers.
That's awesome.
So it's a perception thing. Yeah. But if you really look into the data and our customer profile, that's not the case.
So it is like the individual farmers still the backbone of America.
Yes. Yeah. If you think about the technology and the economics as we laid out earlier, you have to adopt this, and our products come in all, you know, we have models and all sorts of price tiers and tech packages. So it is in an affordable bracket, and everybody is taking advantage our products. So yes, we are very happy to support the whole farming community. Yeah. We are not trying to draw lines at all.
And I didn't say
I'm just saying,
but I just know, like, I mean, there's a cost to it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
But what we've seen is our farmers do appreciate what we bring to the table as an equipment company, and they see the value in how our products improve. Because if they didn't, they would not. I mean, the adoption is the proof in the pudding.
Right. There's ROI associated to everything.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're running a little bit short on time, and I kind of want to ask you one personal question. We didn't prep for this, so if you don't like it, we can cut it out.
You're scaring.
But you spent 12 plus years at John Deere. And your career has been very interesting to me because I can see your progression and, you know, going from strategic planning to pricing and then mergers and acquisitions. And now you move to digital strategy. Can you help me understand how you did that, if you're comfortable talking? Because we didn't prep for this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the titles are kind of misleading because my passion has always been strategy. So my current role at Deere is I am the digital strategy lead. So it basically gives me the freedom to live with my head in the clouds but always my feet are firmly planted on the ground and my eyes are on the horizon. And I think about technology trends 2030 and beyond. So a lot of my roles at Deere have been very much strategic. That's my lane. That's my functional lane. So even though the functional areas have changed, I always come into, because I didn't grow up in a farm. Yeah. My background's not farming. So when I joined Deere, what was really driving me was the higher purpose and the vision for what the company was trying to achieve. And I was scanning, in every one of my roles, I was scanning tech trends. I was scanning how the customer behavior is evolving and how it will continue to evolve. Yeah. I look at macro trends in terms of economics, as well as competitive dynamics. What is the competition doing and what is the industry doing? And the industry is changing. Like, there's no strong lines. This is an equipment company space. This is an input company space. This is the tech company space. Those lines are blurred. We are in a hybrid ecosystem where bits and pixels are intermingling with the atoms, right? We're a hard iron company transitioning into a data company. And that is the evolution we're on.
So I'm curious, and I'm not asking this from I want the inside scoop of John Deere necessarily, but from your role being in a farming industry and looking at technology trends of 2030, what are some of the biggest challenges you have in your role helping to get there?
Well, that's a great question. Now you got me thinking. Well, it's not as much as a challenge. It's more about this. I have a you know, favorite thing that I keep thinking is, good is the enemy of great. Because you're already in a good place.
Yeah.
Are you going to really push yourself to achieve the greatness? Because that comes with a level of risk, right? And also, we're in a good position as a hard iron company, and we are making a transformation. So that is, again, uncomfortable. So the new world that we're in is disrupt or be disrupted.
Yep.
That's right.
And so get comfortable being uncomfortable, right? Yeah. So that's a cultural thing that we have to kind of embrace as a company going forward. But what I would like to say is Deere is not a stranger to transformation. 1837, we innovated as a company. This was the beginning of John Deere with a self-scouring plow. That was the original innovation, wow. Right? Mm-hmm. Fast forward a short 81 years, and we decided to go, you know, check out this internal combustion engine fad that was happening in 1919, and decided to start making machines because, you know, our legacy is doing animal, you know, pulled implements, but let's skip that and go make these tractor thingies, right? So we did that. Big bet, big risk, transformed the ag industry, transformed Deere, and, yeah. You know, we've never been the same. Fast forward another short 81 years, we acquired the NAVCOM satellite positioning company in 1999. And that is the underpinnings for everything that we're doing today. It's the precision that we needed to drive that auto track, yield mapping, to do the variable rate application. All of that required that sub-inch level accuracy that was satellite corrected, right? And now we're not waiting 81 years, 18 years later, 2017, the acquisition of Blue River, and now we are onboarding artificial intelligence onto our equipment. I say the future is limitless. Transformation is in our blood.
Yeah. No, that is.
And considering what companies last, like even a great company, you're seeing like Fortune, even 500s will be gone in 10 to 20 years.
You've seen that whole thing.
That's like giants topple, so you can't get, you know, too comfortable sitting on your laurels.
No. And on that note, I think that is like a perfect finish. So, Sona, if anyone wants to learn more about John Deere and the exciting things here at CES, how else could they learn about John Deere?
Well, if you're at CES, please come by our booth. Come talk to us, and we will be more than happy to talk to you about all the tech. I actually show you all the tech. I mean, what I talked about today was just a small sliver of all that we are offering. So I encourage everybody to come visit our booth. That's the fastest and the easiest way to get to us. And once you do that, or alternatively, connect with me via LinkedIn. Okay. And let's start the conversation, and I can point you to wherever you want. So okay. I'm giving that invitation.
And then there's johndeere.com, I'm assuming. And then we're on johndeerejournal.com.
Yes.
Either of those?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll link those in our show notes too.
So excellent. Well, Sona, I want to say thank you very much.
Yes.
And I want to say your name because everyone slaughtered my last name. So I'm trying not to slaughter yours. So thank you, Sona Razia Begum.
Absolutely.
From John Deere for joining us here at Innovation Calling.
Thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Thank you.